Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for the love we've been able to experience from you and also from people around us in this life. We thank you for the privilege of teaching us, or at least beginning to teach us, what it is to love you, and also, at least in some measure, what it is to love others. And so today, Lord, we pray that you will teach us even more. And we pray that you will teach us more in the days ahead, because we just know, we just get the feeling that this is one that we can never exhaust. And this is one that no matter how far we go, we can never say, I've achieved it, I'm there, I've done it all. So we pray today indeed that this most important area of our lives with you, that that would be an area of growth that would be apparent to us and to those around us. And of course, most of all, to you. Thank you for loving us first so that we could then love you and love others. Take your word now and use it, we pray, in our hearts and lives today, in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. And if you're one of those who likes to, you know, do the notes, fill in the blanks, have something to look at later, now would be the time. Sometimes I wonder if I'm even qualified to speak on this subject. Then I realize the only reason I'm standing here today, and the only reason that I can speak this message, and the only reason that I'm whatever, you know, am today in the Lord, is because of his love for me. And because of the love of other people that have loved me down through the years, ever since I was just a little guy. That is why I can stand here today and even bring this message. So if you've ever received love or anything like that and begun to learn, then you're qualified to at least address this issue. But it is certainly an issue that we need to look at often, because it becomes very, very close, no pun intended, to the heart of God. It says in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And there are those who say that actually, love is the fruit of the Spirit, and that everything that follows is just simply other parts of love. However you may want to interpret that, but we will be addressing a similar concept to that toward the end of the message today. But love is central. I was reading again the other day in John over there in 13, and they've had the Last Supper. And Jesus has washed the disciples' feet. And they're soon going to be moving out to the Mount of Olives. And he knows what awaits him there. And probably in a couple hours, he'll be agonizing in prayer to the point that it's drops of sweat like blood. And an angel has to come and strengthen him. And he knows all that. And he's saying to them, I give you a new commandment. The Jews, believe me, they knew about commandments. He says, I give you a new commandment. I sort of get the idea, I'm giving you one commandment that'll kind of replace all the others. It doesn't say that, but that's kind of the idea I get. Love one another. In this shall all men know that you are my disciples. This will be your defining characteristic. That you, what? Have love one for another. I wonder how some of us and some of our churches are doing today in showing the world that we're truly his disciples. And then I read a little further, and he's praying, and he said, Father, I pray for my disciples. I've revealed you to them. I've been with them. I've loved them. I've showed them everything you told me to show them. I've told them everything you told me to tell them. Now I'm coming back to you, and I'm asking you to take care of them. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but I'm asking you to keep them from the evil. And I'm also asking you, Father, that they may be one as we are one, and that they may be one in unity. And yet, when he speaks to the disciples, he never says, I want you all to be one. I want you all to have unity. To them, he says, I want you to love one another. And I found that interesting. And then I thought, well, it makes sense. Because if they love each other, the unity will come. But let's just look at a few observations here. Pretty basic stuff. Number one, love is the chief of all Christian virtues, for it embodies the very core of God's nature, essence, and character. I do not know of another quality of God whereof it says God is, but it says God is love. I do not know of a verse that says God is righteousness. It says God is righteous, God is holy, God is merciful, but it does not say God is righteousness. But when it comes to this, it says God is love. So that would tell me that this comes as close, if you had one word to describe God, that's the very core and essence of who he is, it would be this. For it says, this is what he is. God is love. So it's an extremely important thing because it has to do with the very nature and character of God. And we who have been purchased by the blood of Christ and have been washed and cleansed and redeemed and made into new creatures and brought into his family, if he is love, then obviously his love would be also the defining characteristic of us. Because we were brought into his family to be what? Like him. And that's what it says over in Romans chapter 8, that God sent Jesus, but it was so that he could bring many sons to glory, and that those that he called would be conformed to the image of his son, that we would come to be like Jesus. Did Jesus love, by the way? Absolutely, perfectly so. And so his goal is that we would be made like him. Number two, God's love is alive. God's love is alive and therefore has the capacity to grow. It is a living thing. It is a thing of his character. It is a thing of his spirit. And so therefore, it has the capacity to grow. And it will grow in us if we allow it to. There are reasons why we don't allow love to grow in us, and we block it. And those reasons have to do with our own insecurities. And those reasons have to do with our own little side agendas that aren't necessarily right in keeping with God's perfect will for us. But love is alive, and love does have the capacity to grow. And if we allow it in the least, or encourage it in the least, or seek it in prayer in the least, that is one that God will answer every time. And since it is the chief of all Christian virtues that embodies the very core of God's nature, in any area that we want to grow, I would think this would be the chief area in which we would want to grow as believers. More than knowledge, more than all the others. We may name a couple more before we're done in the next couple Sundays, but more than all of them, it would be in love. Number three, our love for each other is rooted in our love for Christ and the love we have received from him. And 1 John talks a lot about both. But we love him, maybe not perfectly, but we love him. And hopefully we're growing in our love for him. And all I can say is, if you're really growing in your love for Jesus, it makes sense to me that you would automatically be growing in your love for people. How can you say I'm growing in my love for Jesus and a part of that automatically not be? There's something wrong with this picture. If I say I'm growing in my love for Jesus, but I'm not growing in my love for people, I think that's sort of a contradiction. For God so loved the world that he what? Gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And Jesus loved, and that is why he was willing to do it and willing to pay that price. pay that cost. So, our love for each other is rooted in our love for Christ and the love we have received from Him. Hence, the best way to grow in our love for others is, A, to grow in our love for Christ, and B, to more fully experience His love for us. And when I say more fully experience it, I'm talking about actually being aware of it. How many know and believe that He does love us all the same? But does every believer say, oh, I am so loved. God loves me so completely. Even with my faults and my weaknesses, He loves me so completely. Or do we go around beating ourselves up all the time? It isn't that God loves some more than others. It's just that some understand His love better than others and are more open to receive it. And again, we have our own reasons why we put up these barriers and won't receive love. And those barriers have got to come down, because until we know that we are really loved and we really, 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 really know that, we will never really be able to love other people in any great way. It will always be in a limited way. It will always be with a qualifier at the end, or at the beginning. It will always be with a certain amount of our guard up. And then if that love is disappointed, we will revert back into our little shell or whatever and say, yeah, I knew it wouldn't work all the time. Because until we know we're really loved, how can we love somebody else? And so it's important we really know this, that we really understand this, that we really experience this. And if you find somebody who says, oh, I am so loved, I am so totally loved, I am so completely loved, they're not going to have a problem loving somebody else, because when they love that other person, they're not going to be worried about the consequences. They're not going to be worried about the response. They're not going to be worried about any of that, because they don't have a love deficit. And we'll be able to love. Just, how about God's love? Does it have any end? How about that old song? We haven't dug it out in a long time. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. Where the sea with, if the sea was filled with ink and the sky was a scroll and every man was a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. But it is only in understanding that we're loved by Him, in really, really understanding that we're able to love others without it being a threatening thing in any way, regardless of what their response happens to be. The reason that we are so limited in our capacity to love, I believe, is often because we have a love deficit ourselves. And so we were talking about the robot last week. I need input. Well, a lot of us go around, oh, I need love. Would you love me? Would you love me? If I know I'm totally loved, I don't have a love deficit. This is the place that the Lord wants you to be at, and He wants me to be at. He does not want me going through life wondering if I'm really loved. Oh, I may not be loved by everybody around me, but guess whose problem that is? If I know I'm really loved by the Lord, that's their problem. It's not my problem. And I'll be able to love them right in the midst of their whatever attitude toward me, and enjoy doing it. And it's the right thing to do. Have you ever heard of the right thing to do? As God's child, it's the right thing to do. Well, they don't deserve it. It's still the right thing to do. Did you deserve it when God loved you? still the right thing to do. So the way to grow in our love for others is to grow in our love for Christ, because the more we love him, the more we're going to love others, and the more fully experience his love for us, because the more fully aware we are that we're loved by him, the less of a difficulty it's going to be loving others. Number four, it is impossible to have consistent growth in other areas of our Christian life unless we are also growing in love. And we go back to 1 Corinthians 13. I can have faith that moves mountains. I can know heavenly languages and earthly languages. I can understand every mystery that there is and explain every theological principle and concept from beginning to end without skipping a beat. And if I have love, it means what? Absolutely nothing. As I was reading this and thinking about this, I was thinking about deformities. And deformities often have to do with one part of the body being too small or being too large. Suppose you had somebody with a 25-pound head and a 2-pound body. Would that be a little out of proportion? And if we are not growing in love as we grow in knowledge and as we grow in grace and as we grow in other parts of the Christian life, which are legitimate and the Lord does want us to grow in them, but if we're not growing in love at the same time, then that other growth is going to be of very, very limited use or value and may actually become a deformity. And so we had in our notes last time what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 8. He said, knowledge puffs up. Love what? Edifies. Love builds up. And he says, and anybody that thinks they know something, they still don't know anything the way they ought to know it. Why? Because it's not tempered by and not mixed with love. So, Lord, may I be growing in love. Yes, I want to grow in knowledge of you. I want to grow in faith. I want to grow in a whole lot of areas. But, Lord, let me be growing in love at the same time. Because if I don't, then these other things are going to get way out of balance. And these other things, really, they're not going to really be. I'll just think they're growth. And all the time I'll be fooled because they really won't be growth. Because I haven't grown in love to go with it. How many ladies here cook a little bit once in a while, whatever, okay? And how many of you ever say, well, the recipe says this, but I want more, so I'm going to, like, double the recipe? Now, isn't it true that if you do that, you double all of them? Because everything has to stay what? In proportion. And that's what the growing in love will do as we grow in these other areas. Number five. Love, here's a, anyway, it's up there. It will be up there. Love is a multifaceted. Expression of God's character and nature. Some of you ladies have a diamond. Huh? Does it have more than one facet? Oh, it has a whole bunch of facets. And the more facets it has, it's like, oh, he must have gone to Jared's. It's the same diamond, but it has a lot of facets. And the more, the better. And that's the way God's love is. Love is a multifaceted expression of God's character and nature. Like a flower that has many petals, God's love has multiple expressions and aspects. Just as having a flower automatically means having all of its petals, having God's love at work in us is the key to his love being present and active in us, in its various expressions and forms. And I asked Becky to put a flower up there. Can we get our flower? Oh, Isn't that pretty? You like flowers? I'm not any good at growing them or anything, but I sure do love to see them. And I especially like those roses and flowers, like they got all those petals. And you don't go around saying, oh, let me get a petal, and let me get a petal, and let me get another petal, and maybe I can put a flower together. You don't do that. You just buy the flower, and you have all the petals, because if it's a rose, it has petals. But it's all those petals that make it a flower. And I think that's how God's love is. So you read about these other things like kindness and gentleness, forgiveness, patience, forbearance, compassion, sympathy, empathy, consolation, generosity, faithfulness, loyalty, availability, nurture, care, encouragement, and yes, warning on occasion, correction, instruction, service. All of these are just facets of the same thing. They are all just facets and expressions of the love of God. And it's a whole lot easier for me to say, Lord, I want to grow in kindness and gentleness and forgiveness and patience. It's a whole lot easier for me to say, Lord, would you help me to grow in love? And if I grow in love, I will grow in kindness, which is one of its expressions. And I will grow in gentleness. And I will grow in forgiveness. Is that a big one? Forgiveness? Is that a big one? Is that one a lot of us need to grow in? Patience? Huh? We're afraid of that one, aren't we? And then people make us more afraid of it. Because they say, I prayed to the Lord for patience, and he sent me more tribulation. So that I would develop patience. Well, I heard that, and I said, Lord, please give me patience for what I'm going through, but please don't send me any more tribulation. But if we're growing in love, these other things aren't going to be a problem. You follow me? These other things are going to naturally unfold. Oh, isn't it beautiful to see a flower unfold? Oh, what a wonderful thing. And that's what the Lord wants to do for you. And me. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you today. And we thank you. We're not all the way there yet. But as we go along, you're willing to teach us. And you're willing to walk with us. And if we miss the first lesson, you're willing to take us through it again. And you're willing to keep helping us, keep working with us until we begin to show some growth. And if we mess up, you say, no, that's not how it's done. This is how it's done. But you keep working with us until you build the character of your Son in us. And so, Lord, I pray that as believers, each of us would be indeed growing in love. Love for you, and then by extension, in our love for those around us. Those very close to us, and those that we know less well. And also those who do not know you, which as Bennett has pointed out, the best way to love them is to give them Jesus. Just as the best way you loved us was to give us Jesus. But help us to grow in the grace and knowledge of you. And even as we do, help us, Lord. Slow though it may be. Painful even maybe for some, I don't know. But Lord, just help us to grow in love. We'll never be sorry. And we'll be more representative of who you are and of what we profess to be. And we'll be able to bless others more. That's our prayer today. Build in us the same love that you have for us and that you extend to us every day in Christ. That's our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.